Baptism Sunday. We are so excited that we can have this. We've been talking about it for a while, and today's the day. We have three people who have chosen to follow Jesus and declare their faith through water baptism. It's one of the ordinances that we believe as a church. We've been talking about our core beliefs and core values. We believe in water baptism. You know, baptism is an outward expression of an inner change that's taken place in someone's lives. And today, Jake, Hunter, and Terry, they've all accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now they're going to follow him in obedience and follow in his steps to make a public declaration for all to know that they've decided to follow Jesus. That as they go down in those baptismal waters and they come up out again, it represents the old life, which is dead and gone, and the new life that has come to them, and it's available to them through Jesus. So that's why we celebrate baptism. And at the end of service, when we do this, Pastor Andy's going to come. So he's going to bring the kids from Kids Life. And so they're going to be sitting over here. They're going to be sitting up here so they can participate and they can celebrate with us the things that God is doing and the things that God has done. So today's a good day. Amen? Amen. Amen. So glad you're here. Well, if you have your Bibles today, would you please turn with me, if you have them, whether it's electronic or a physical Bible, would you turn with me today to Joshua chapter 1? And I want you to just kind of mark that. We're going to go to that. It's going to be a little bit before we get there, but I want you to mark that. And then we're just going to open up before we go into the message, just in a time of prayer. So would you join me? Heavenly Father, we are here today for no other reason than to meet with you, to come to worship you and to thank you, God, for the wonderful things that you've done. Our lives are testimony of the work of God. And Father, the reason that we can be here today, the reason that we gather is because, God, you have offered us new life, and we've received you. We've received that new life, and we want to live in that new life. And, God, today we will culminate the end of the service celebrating new life. But, Lord, in these moments now as we get into your word and as we hear what you would say to us today in this season and in this time, God, I pray that you will take your word, that you'll help us to not just hear it, not just acknowledge what the word says, but, God, that we will allow it to impact in our lives in such a way that you will have that fashioning and that forming that you want to do in our hearts to make us more like you. Thank you for that process, God, that once we come to relationship with you, we don't remain the way that we are, but God, you're constantly changing us and molding us and making us more like your son. We thank you for this opportunity we have today. We celebrate the work of God in this place and in each one of these lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we began this brand new series called Building for Blessing. We're going to be in this series for a few weeks, and we talked about that there's a principle that we see over and over in Scripture, and it's also a principle that we see in our daily lives as God works in us. And the principle is this: God often does the structural in our lives before he does the supernatural. Before the exciting, he does the foundational work in our lives. And all those things are preparatory, building the support and the structure that we need in our lives so that way we can handle the blessings that God might want to pour out. I want us to look again at some of the books or some of the stories in the book of Acts we talked about last week, and those are going to serve as a launching point into some additional scripture where we're going to see these examples and this process I want to talk about today of change. So when we go back to Acts chapter 2, because Acts chapter 2 is one of the most supernatural and exciting books or chapters in all the Bible. It's the day of Pentecost, and this is where the church was literally born. The church as we know it was born on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were gathered together in Jerusalem as Jesus had instructed them to do, and the Holy Spirit was poured out in a powerful way in their lives, and miraculous things came out of that moment in time. If you ever want to see or read about something supernatural, just go to Acts chapter 2. It's all laid out right there. But yet in the previous chapter, chapter 1, we see something it's structural. It's something that builds the disciples up and it prepares them for the blessing that God is about to pour out and to bring to them in the next chapter. That takes place in chapter 1. In fact, if you read chapter 1 of Acts, it's all about change. The first thing that happens is Jesus leaves his disciples. He ascends to heaven. He's gone. That's a huge change for them. And then as they're praying together, God inspires them and helps them to see that it's time for some leadership change within the discipleship and that leadership team, where someone needs to come and replace Judas, which almost kind of seems like a footnote right in the middle of chapter 1. Kind of makes you think, why is this important? Why is this fact of this election of a new disciple right here in the middle of chapter 1? Because we really never hear anything about Matthias, who was elected to replace Judas, after this chapter. It's not like he had some major role in the book of Acts, but yet this is mentioned in there. See, what we have to understand is there was a structural work that needed to take place so that they would be ready for the supernatural things that God was about to bring into their lives in Acts chapter 2. And what stands out to me in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 8, and Acts chapter 15, as well as in other portions of Scripture throughout the Bible, is that when God is doing something structural in our lives, he often does that through change. He brings change. Jesus ascending to heaven, leaving his disciples, huge change. A new apostle being chosen to replace Judas, more change. God often uses seasons of change in our lives to accomplish his work. We started last week by using a construction analogy. Construction projects, whether they're improving our roadways throughout town or they're building structurally to expand, to handle the coming growth that's coming into the valley. Whenever those things happen, they always involve some kind of change. I am so glad for the change we have at the bottom of McKittrick Street, where we actually have a light. Right? You don't have to like put you know your life on the line every time you want to turn left at the bottom of McKittrick Street before there was a light. And I've heard rumor of, don't take this as gospel truth, but I've heard more changes coming eventually because across from that light, they're going to be putting in a Chick-fil-A at some point. They're not open on Sundays because they want to honor the Lord, but it's a good thing. Good change, all right? Whenever things happen, whenever construction is going on, it always involves change. This morning, I want to talk together about how God uses seasons of change in our lives. But first, I want us to consider just a little bit of theology concerning change. One thing that is important for us to see and understand as we talk about change, it is this, that God never changes. You say amen to that? God never changes. That's good to know, isn't it? He's always the same. Psalm chapter 55, verse 13 says this, God who is enthroned from of old, who does not change. So when situations change and leadership changes and relationships change and our lives change and our bodies change, all those things, as difficult as they may be, we need to be reminded that God never changes. In fact, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And not only does he never change, his message never changes. It's the same. And that's the message that we proclaim here at Wenatchee First Assembly as we are called to help people find and follow Jesus. It's the same message. It's the gospel truth. It's kind of a unique dichotomy that we live in today. God doesn't change, but life constantly changes. Anyone ever found that to be true? Life, I mean, at neck break speed, right? It's always changing. And with technologies, one thing, I remember when Jenny and I first got married, like cell phones weren't hardly even really a thing back then. Technology changes like this. And now I have to ask my kids and my son to help me figure out things on my phone that I do not understand. It's foreign to me. There's probably four-year-olds who know more about my iPhone than I do. Things are always changing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun. If you've ever read Ecclesiastes, you know that it says as there's a time to live and a time to die, a time for peace, a time for war. It goes on and on and on. We have all these transitions laid out in Ecclesiastes. Each one of them brings change. For everything, there is a season. We live in a time of constant change. It's important for us to recognize this because if we don't, it will affect us in a lot of different ways. If you're taking notes, and I never force people to take notes, and I'm not even to point one yet, but if you want to write something down this morning, this would be it. How I change changes my life. How I change changes my life. In other words, how you and I handle change that comes our way will change us. Remember, we're talking about building for blessing in our lives. How we navigate and handle change, whether we capitalize on it or allow it to negatively affect us, it will play a role in the spiritual infrastructure that we are building to support God's blessing in our lives. So if God wants to do something supernatural in my life, I then have to be willing and open to the fact that he might do something structural first. That's the first step that he might want to work in my life. Sometimes for him to bless me supernaturally, I need to be willing for him to structurally do a work in and through my life. God uses change in our life. Like it or not, accept it or not, welcome it or not, whether it's change of our own choosing or change that comes unexpectedly from things that we are not even aware of surrounding us. When change comes, God uses that change in our lives. Now, you've been holding Joshua chapter 1 for a little bit. We're going to go there right now. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to see some examples of what I want to call the cycle of change. Not only do we see it in this biblical text, but I also see it in my life, and I think you'll see it in your life as well. And it's important that we recognize this cycle of change, because when we do, it will help us navigate our lives in constructive ways, the way that God intends it to, through change. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, reading in the NIV translation this morning, this is what it says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, many of us here today might know the story of Moses. Moses was the chosen deliverer that God sent into Egypt to deliver the Israelites out of slavery. And then they ended up wandering for 40 years on their way to the promised land. And Joshua was Moses' second in command. That was his role, and that's how he served Moses. And after Moses' death, Joshua was appointed to take a place of leadership that God had preordained for him. And it's a fascinating story because for 40 years, the Israelites had been waiting for this very moment, Joshua chapter 1. This is what they had been waiting for, and here it is before them. And I don't know if they realized it or not, but this was a tremendous moment of change in the life of Israel. And what God was going to begin to map out before Joshua's life is this cycle of change that I want to talk to us about this morning. We see it through Scripture, and if we take a close enough look at our lives, we will see it and recognize this cycle in us too. There's three phases to this cycle of change, and we're going to look at each one of them individually. So if you have your notes in the back of your program, phase number one is this, transition. Just underline that word, transition. There's a huge transition taking place here in Joshua chapter 1. I want us to read this again. Verses 1 and the first part of 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's as though God is saying, okay, Joshua, it's here. This is going to happen. Things aren't what they used to be, and they're never going to go back to the way that they were. It's time for you to step up and step into the calling that I have for your life. This is the time, Joshua. Moses is dead. I'm going to give you the baton. This is the leg that you are supposed to run now. This is what is happening according to my plans and my purposes. And what an incredible moment of change this is. See, change doesn't always come dramatically. Yes, there's time where we experience change in death and in loss, but we also experience change in moments that might be little and small ways. Change comes in seasons. Our lives change based on our families, on our careers, on our health, on our age. Through all these different seasons we experience. And at some point, who knows, maybe you'll have a change of neighbors living next to you, or you'll watch as a certain business opens in town, like the Chick-fil-A, or the Carl's Jr., which just closed down over in East Wenatchee. There's change happening. Or maybe you'll witness more orchards being taken down and seven-story apartment buildings being put up right next to your house. It's happening. There's always change. Always change. Over the course of our lives, we will witness it without end. Sometimes the change is things that we hope for, the things that we ask for, the change that we want. Other times, change is uninvited, unwanted, and unwelcomed. We don't want that kind of change. Your change might be different than someone else's change that they're going through. Change is real. There's no denying it. And one of the things we've got to recognize is this cycle of change is that transition is one of the key cycles in our lives. It is constant and it will happen. When it comes to change of our own choosing, we should ask this question: is this change necessary? Is it something that needs to be done? Like if, say, you're a newlywed couple and you're living in a one-bedroom apartment, it's like 400 square feet and it's just fine for the two of you, but you realize that you're expecting a child and all of a sudden things change. You realize it might be necessary for you to find a different living arrangement based on this change that's taking place. And this is a good change, right? You get to have this child born and it's a good change. And you realize from a practical sense, this necessary change should happen. But then there's some people who like change. In fact, you change things in your life every day. Your life is boring if there's not change. In fact, if you could like paint a wall in your house every day a different color, you would enjoy that because it's change. It's different. You want to see things different. But a good question to ask yourself when it comes to all these changes is it necessary? Is it something that I have to do? Or is it just change for change's sake? Is it necessary? One thing I think we should do if we don't like change, or I think that we do, is we have a tendency to try to push it away. I don't like this change is coming, so we want to hold it off. We want to push it away, maybe try to suppress or ignore it when those seasons of transition come because we don't like that. We don't like that change. We want things to remain as they are. And whether Joshua was ready or not, Moses was now dead. Change was here. Change will always come our way, friends, and we have to decide what we're going to do about it. Will we try to resist it, or will we accept the transition that we are in? And the longer it takes for us to accept change, the longer that we will be stuck in transition. No one likes to be in this place, but we need to understand that sometimes a place of transition is necessary in our lives so that God can do what he wants to do in and through us. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read story after story of people who lived by faith. For Noah, it was probably a really big change to quit his day job and start building an ark, right? Abraham suddenly left his homeland to go to a place that he didn't even know where he was going. That's a huge change that Abraham had to go through. Big change. And of course, Moses did what he did. Dramatic change. And when we read these stories in Hebrews chapter 11, every one of them involves change. It's kind of like the hall of fame of faith for people of faith throughout Scripture. But every one of their lives involved change of some kind. And I realized something. When God uses someone in a significant way, he rarely lets them stay where they started. When he wants to use someone, he has to transform someone, he very rarely lets them stay where they started. He oftentimes says, in order for me to do the work that I want to do in and through your life, it may require that you go through a season of transition. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to up and quit your job and move out of the Wenatchee Valley, right? It doesn't mean that we need to do things that are crazy or unwise. But it does mean that we need to be willing to say this. So, God, I know that you might have to help me walk through seasons of change in my life if I'm going to be able to do the things that you designed me to do, if I'm going to be able to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish in and through my life. I realize that those seasons of change have to come, But it's good to know that you're going to walk with me through that. When God uses someone greatly, he rarely lets them stay where they are. Sooner we identify and accept these phases of transition in our life, the sooner that we will be able to move forward to what would be the second phase of the cycle of change. And it is this: preparation. Preparation. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Look at this again with me if you would. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. There's the transition, right? Moses is dead. He's not coming back. He's received his eternal reward. It's now Joshua, right? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. Two key words in verse 2, get ready. If you're taking notes, write that down, get ready. God tells Joshua, get ready. There's things that I want to do, and I want to use you to do them. But I can't do it unless you begin to prepare yourself now. I need you to get ready. This idea of preparation is huge when it comes to change in our lives. We mentioned this last week. If you're here, we talked about how preparation precedes blessing. That before blessing comes into our lives, oftentimes we have to go through a season of preparation, and that always involves change. What that might look like is different depending on what kind of phase you are in life. We see it in practical things, like for some people it's getting an education. Maybe it's learning a new skill set. For those of you who have a desire to run a marathon, that's not me, but that if you want to do something like that, it takes preparation to learn how to get ready for a marathon. Or maybe you want to learn to play an instrument, a musical instrument. There's preparation that takes place in those things. It's all wrapped up into learning those things. Maybe it's someone who has personal health that they want to prepare for, and they want to eat healthy, and they want to get good sleep, and they want to get exercise. Sometimes preparation can be very specific in our lives, saying, I need to do this so that I can do this. Now, for me, when I was called into the ministry at age 17 at a youth camp, it was a winter camp that we were having, God called me into the ministry, I knew that it would require me to go to 4 years of Bible college, which actually turned into 5 years, but we're not going to talk about that story this morning. 5 years of Bible college. And in my preparation for ministry included that schooling that I took. It also involved some internships along the way, some volunteer positions in ministry. Eventually it led to a part-time type of a role, and then my first full-time ministry position as a youth pastor. But then I had to prepare because I wasn't a youth pastor forever. And then I became a worship pastor. And then I became an associate pastor. And then God called me to something that I didn't even know was on the radar, is to be a lead pastor. And over 30 years, this is culmination of 30 years, I was being prepared for different seasons and different times all along the way. And then another example, when I was at Northwest University, go Eagles, talons up. I finally got the nerve to go into the cafeteria and meet this girl named Jenny and ask her to go out with me. And that preceded a dating relationship that I had. And really excited about that because eventually we had this dating relationship. And then about a year and a half later, we got engaged. And I'm glad that she said yes, because my life has changed because of it, right? And so this was the thing. So we became engaged and we were starting to plan some things. And with that engagement, there took preparation. Yes, for what would be our wedding day, May 25th, 1996. We were preparing for that wedding day, that wedding ceremony, but it also included taking part of premarital counseling for us because we wanted to build a strong foundation, as strong as foundation as we could prior to us taking our wedding vows. We were investing, we were preparing. We knew that the wedding day would come and go, and that would be wonderful and good, but there's never been a perfect wedding ceremony, and so we didn't want to stress so much on that, knowing that, you know what, we have to live the rest of our lives building this marriage. So we're going to put some investment here at the very beginning before we're married and go through premarital counseling. And when we talk about marriage, talk about one of the biggest blessings in life, right? Talk about change. Two individuals being brought together as one. Change, change. Likewise, many of you have found yourself in seasons where change in your life began with transition. That's where it began. And then God has led you into this second phase of preparation. Now, my personal examples were kind of positive in nature, but not all change is planned for, and it can be difficult at best as you prepare to move forward in life. But the question is, how do we make the most of all this in our lives? Psalm 33 is an interesting portion of scripture because when you read it, you get this sense of a time of turmoil that's going on in this chapter. There's frustration, there's change that's going on. But what stands out to me in this chapter is the way that the psalmist who wrote it, the way that they wrap up this psalm in verse 21. This is what it says, Psalm 33, 21. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. So literally, these people are in a season of transition. They have an enemy. There's difficulty happening around them. He mentions that there's famine in the land. All these things, yet he says, as they prepare during this season, that they're going to prepare with hearts that are rejoicing and they're trusting in the name of the Lord. Even with all these things going around them. So here's a couple of thoughts I just want to share with us this morning as we think of this season of preparation right now. The first one is this: I would encourage you to do your best to prepare with joy. Now, we know that joy and happiness are different, right? We did a series on the book of Philippians a few months ago. There's a difference between joy and happiness. They're not the same. You might not always be happy in the things that you are going through, but God can help you find joy regardless of it. Our attitude plays a big role in times of change, and it can make all the difference for us. There are times where change has to happen for the things that are ahead of us. And with the better our attitude, the greater the joy we can embrace that through. When we realize that there's blessing ahead, it should affect our attitude. We can prepare with joy, but we can also prepare with trust. Psalm 33 says, we rejoice in him and we put our trust in the Lord. God can be trusted. Amen? He can be trusted. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never show up short in your life. He can be trusted. And if you're in a season of change, are you willing to say, God, I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't want it. But regardless of it all, I'm going to trust you. That's going to be the position of my heart. I'm going to trust you because I believe that you are up to something. I might not be able to perceive it with my mind. I might not be able to see it with my physical eyes, but I believe that you are up to something. Friends, the more diligent that we are in this preparation phase, the more fruitful we will be in other phases of change in our life. With the right attitude and the right heart that says, God, I don't want to be in this season, but I believe that you are doing something in my life as I go through this season. So we prepare with joy and we can prepare with trust. And as we do this, it aligns us with the will of God in our lives. And that then brings about healthy change. It starts by saying, God, I want you to do what you want to do in my life. Would you accomplish your work in me? I might not understand all that you are preparing for me right now, but I rejoice in knowing that you are with me, and I trust in you in what you're doing in my life. God, just prepare me to be the person you want me to be. That's my prayer, God. Let's look back at Joshua 1:3. Moses is dead, right? God tells Joshua, get ready, and then he says this in verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, don't miss what he says to Joshua right here. He says, I'm going to take you through a process. There's going to be this cycle that I'm going to take you through. It's a transition. There's going to be this season of preparation that you need to get ready in. But then there's this third part, and this is it. The point number 3 is the blessing, right? The blessing. This is where God is able to pour out his blessing in our lives. And for a moment, I just want to read more about God's blessing in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to go back to verse 3, but now I want us to read through verse 6. Listen to what this says. God says, I will give every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will be extended from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country and to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because I will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to give to their ancestors. There's a whole lot more talk about the blessing right there than there is about the transition or the preparation taking place. God desires that we go through these seasons of change in our life so that we can get to the place where we find blessing. This whole idea behind change is that we're building for blessing, for what God wants to do in and through our lives. And change is the bridge, if you will, to blessing. No matter where you are or might be in that cycle of change, I want you to pay attention to what God says to Joshua in this moment where God's promising these blessings. He says, be strong and courageous. I am with you. I am not going to leave you. That confidence that he was speaking into Joshua's life. And you might be here today, or maybe you're watching online, you're part of our online congregation, and you can say, you know what, hey, this sounds all too good, because you have no idea the change that I've been going through in my life. It's tough, and I don't see any blessing ahead. What we need to remember in this chapter here is God is speaking to Joshua. Joshua is standing, right, at the boundaries of the promised land. He's there and he's looking at this land that God is promising to give him and to give the Israelites, but it's inhabited by a people who are bigger, stronger, and scarier than the Israelites are. In fact, about 40 years prior to this, some of Joshua's friends were there and they looked at the land and they said, this is impossible. No one can take this land. No one can do it. And so here's Joshua. And he has to be wondering, how is this going to take place? How is this going to unfold? And God tells Joshua, here's what I'm going to do. This is the season where things are going to be happening, the things that people have been waiting for a long time. The time is now. I want you to get ready, because the things that I'm about to do, Joshua, are going to amaze you. Watch what's going to happen. You be strong. You be courageous. You hang in there, because I am right there beside you every step of the way. Don't just look in the natural. Just don't look at the enemy. Don't look at the people that you will encounter. I'm going to give you this land, Joshua. You've seen this transition. Moses is dead. I'm calling you to this. I've told you and the people to get ready. And now, here's the blessing. It's coming. Don't look at the natural. See it through the spiritual. Be strong and courageous. I am right by your side every step of the way. And friends, it's exactly the same for us today as well. No matter where we are in the cycle of change in our lives, God is with us every moment and every step of the way. And that's reassuring to know, because this cycle of change that takes place in our life, it goes on for the entirety of our lives. We're always going through change. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Says this, so all of us who've had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. God is constantly taking us through this process as working these things out in our lives. He's taking us from blessing to blessing, glory to glory. Blessing for you, blessing for your family, blessing for our community, blessing for the church for years to come. God just doesn't pour his blessings out for just this moment, as wonderful as that is. God pours out his blessings so that it will affect us for the rest of our lives, so that we can be a blessing to others. So we can be blessing of our family. I want God's blessing in our church. I want God's blessing in my marriage. I want God's blessing in my family. I want God's blessing in our community. That's what he does. We are blessed so that way we can be a blessing. I'm so grateful for those who over 100 years ago got together to have a Bible study in a home, and they met for this study, and they began to ask this question: God, what is it that we can do to be a blessing in the Wenatchee Valley? What can we do? They began to process that. We want to help others find you and experience who you are. A year later, in 1918, they had the blessing of moving into their first pole building, if you will, down on the corner of Mission and Spokane Street, right down the south in a town here. Then again, in 1947, more change happened, and the congregation felt that they were being called to build a new church across the street from this old pole building that they had, and they began to build a new building so that they had a greater opportunity to minister in the Wenatchee Valley and to those living around the church community right there. And then 32 years later, after seasons of transition and seasons of change, the congregation built and moved into a new building at the corner of McKittrick Street in Pershing, right here where we sit today. Over 100 years ago, we've seen God's blessing, but we've also seen these seasons. I'm so thankful for the leaders and for the people in the life of this church. Pastors like Pastor Nason, Pastor White, Pastor Carlson, Pastor Murphy, Pastor Peterson, Pastor Beebe, who were willing to say over and over again, God, what do you want us to do? How can we be a blessing in this community? God, what do you have in store for Wenatchee First Assembly? And God said, you know what? I've got so many blessings for your church. I've got so many blessings and things that I want to do and see through this community as I work in and through your lives and through the congregation. But I need you to be willing to change. You can't get stuck. You can't just say, this is the way we've always done it. You've got to be willing to change. I need you to go through seasons and these cycle of seasons and change. And the church was willing to say, God, whatever it takes to do, whatever you want us to do, it's worth to do today for the blessings of tomorrow. We are going to do it. And the blessings we know today as a church, the blessings that our missionaries know because you give on a monthly basis so that way our missionaries are supported, the blessings of the ministry and the here in the community that we pour out in because of the people and the resources that God has placed right here at Wenatchee First. The blessings we can't even count or understand that God has used in this church from glory to glory, blessing to blessing, through a group of people who were willing to say over this 100+ years, God, we are willing to change today so that way we can see the blessing that you have for tomorrow. That's the history of our church. But it all starts with individuals who are willing to say, God, how can you use me? What do you want to do in and through me? Friends, change happens no matter what, but the question is this: will we embrace it and will we see it as a catalyst for good? As we wrap up, we've got our kids in here for baptisms. I just want to tell you something before I show you a picture. Back in the early 1990s, down in Honduras, they built a bridge. It was called the Chulateca Bridge. And they built this bridge, and the engineer who was in charge of this bridge, he said, I want to build a bridge that will be able to stand the worst of hurricanes that Central America has ever seen. And so when they went to build this bridge, they did that. It was an amazing structure. And everything that they did with that, it was absolutely incredible. And in 1998, just a few years after they built it, Hurricane Mitch hit Central America. And the bridge, it stood strong, it stood firm, it was not compromised in any way at all. But there was another problem, and I want to show you what that problem was. Can we put that picture up right now? So if you can see, here's the bridge. And look where the river is. The bridge was strong. It didn't move. It was there. It stood strong the way that it was intended to do. It would not move. But the hurricane did such damage and in such a unique way that it actually changed the course of where the river was. So now the river is over here, and here you have this bridge, which is a bridge to nothing. It's strong. It's stable. You can't move that sucker. But guess what? It's worthless because it was not able to handle the change that the world was bringing all around it. The world was changing all around it, but the bridge could do nothing. Now it sits there as a monument, I guess, of what happened. Friends, whether we like it or not, our culture is changing. Our world is changing. Eventually, there's going to be a knock on your door, or maybe an email in your inbox, or maybe you're going to be sitting down with your doctor having an appointment. Friends, it's coming our way. It's always changed before us. I don't want you to look at your life and say, well, you know, I've been building my whole life. I thought I'd been building really good, but really it's been a bridge for nothing. I thought I was building something strong, but it's really useless now that here I am at the end of my life. I want all of us to be able to say this: God, in seasons of change, I am building for your blessings. I don't want to miss what you're doing. I don't want to look at the end of my life and say, wow, okay, well, there's a structure and there's nothing good you can bring out of that. I want to be built for blessings. So I'm going to ask you to do something for a moment. I'm going to ask all of us to stand, even the kids who are in Kids Life. Why don't you all stand together with me this morning? And I ask you to bow your heads and close for a moment. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have our baptism service. But as you bow your heads this morning, I don't know what's going on in the seasons of your life right now. I don't know what phase you might be in. You might be in a season of transition, a season of preparation, or you're just in a season now where you're seeing these blessings being poured out. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I want you to know this, that there is a God who is with you. He is with you every step of the way. You can be strong and you can be courageous. Whatever season you're in, God is with you, and he's working in and through you as you experience change. He's working in our lives to bring blessings, and not just blessings that we can hold on to, although we want to receive the things that God has for us, but so that we can be blessings to others, that we can be a blessing in our family, that we can be a blessing to our spouse, that we can be blessings to our children, that we can be a blessing in this church and be a blessing in this community. Father, this morning as we stand in your presence, I believe there are probably people here who are in different phases of life and change, and maybe there's some today it's hard for them to even stand because they don't see the blessing, even within view. Lord, I pray for those who might be struggling, I pray that your reassurance would just settle in their hearts today to be strong and courageous and to know that they can put their trust in a God who will never leave them or forsake them. Father, we know that as you work in our lives, we want to submit to that work because we want to be the people you've called us to be. We want to be able to do the things that you're calling us to do. Lord, help us to not see change as an enemy, but God, help us to see it as something that can guide us into what you have in store. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you're in presence in every season of life, that you're preparing us, that you're working in us. God, there's things that we can look forward to, God, because of the goodness of our God. We sang about it earlier today. You are faithful in all you are. And so, Lord, right now, as we prepare for water baptism and celebration of new life, I pray for every one of us, God, whether we're in a difficult season, whether we're in a joyous season, whether we're in a season where we know something's coming around the corner, but we're waiting on you. We would try to be ready for what's coming. God, help us to see you in light of it all. May we be people who submit ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit in all things. And Lord, we just give you glory and honor today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's sing together, and then we're going to